The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas. Hi, everybody. You're here with Barely Filtered, Kristen and Aurora, and I have a dear friend here. Her name is Christine Campbell Pate. She happens to be the mother of my son's friend from pre-K, but for today's purposes, she is a dating expert, but her title goes much further than that. So explain to us, who are you and what do you do?
Well, again, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here. And so I am a single women's empowerment coach for women who are desiring extraordinary love.
Okay. And that is me. And that's me. I'm over here raising my hand hard, guys, because I know that it's not just me, which is why you're here. Obviously, selfish reasons. I get the therapy out of it. But there's a lot of women out there who are looking for extraordinary love or even extraordinary career path. What advice would you give to a woman who feels stuck or like she's manifesting the same version of love and career that is making her feel stuck?
Well, the first step is to be aware, like to say, you know, at the end of the day, I'm the source of this. I'm responsible for this. No one else is responsible for what's occurring in your life except you. And it takes, you know, sometimes a different level of involvement to be able to say that. But once you do, once you say, I am 100% responsible for my life, then you actually have more control. It's no longer a victim of everything's happening to me. Oh, I'm attracting all these bad guys. It's like, actually, you're choosing these guys and why. So we start there. And then it's the decision of, well, what is it exactly that you want? Let's get into vision now. It's the very first thing I give my clients. I gave it to you, right? Let's start with vision, because I don't know where the heck to take you as a coach if you don't know where the heck you want to go. So sit down, decide. And then how, once you get there, how does it feel? Because that's the most important thing when it comes to manifesting, is it's not, I want this. It's actually tapping into the feeling of having it and letting that guide you into it.
And when you say a vision, am I like cutting out pictures of Brad Pitt and gluing it on a poster board? Or how do you actually make a vision?
Because I think a lot of girls too, they don't really know what they want.
Yeah.
So how do you identify? Are there certain steps in that process of identifying what you truly want?
Well, if I was to ask you, for example, you actually do know what you want. Sometimes you just don't believe you can have it. And so you're like, oh, I want it. Oh, no. And you talk yourself out of it. And I can't have it because of this. Mm-hmm. But if you just give yourself permission to say, you know what, I get to have this. I have a right to this. Wave the magic wand. If you could have anything you wanted, what would it be? And let yourself get creative. And you will speak into it. You'll say, well, I actually do want a nice guy. I want a successful guy. I want a guy who's going to make me a priority. I want this. I want that. And just let yourself go there. Even if there's something in your brain saying, you can't have that. Well, ignore that naysaying, you know, subconscious trauma voice and just like say, I can have it and then go for it. That's a vision board, right?
So am I making a vision board? Am I journaling?
All of it.
What's the act of making
a vision? Number one, you can start with whichever one is easiest. But I mean, vision boards are fun, right? You could create a vision board. And that vision board, again, it's allowing you to be creative and give yourself permission to say, I want these things. But it's a manifesting tool. And you look at it and it makes you feel a certain way.
Right.
Right. If you write your vision down on paper and it's like, okay, so write out what you want. You can write it two ways. I want this. I want a man who makes me feel this way. I want to have children. I want to travel the world with them. I want my children. I want to have two dogs. I want to live on the beach. I want to wake up every Christmas with a loud house and big Christmas tree and love everywhere and Christmas carols. Like, you can get right into it, but that's in a lack state because you're saying, I want this. So if you shifted into, I have it now. I woke up this morning, I rolled over and I can't believe I'm with the man of my dreams. The way he smells, the way he holds me, it gives me goosebumps. I can't believe how lucky I am. Oh, and I just heard our children. our children laughing in the next room, and there was the baby crying.
So they're not sleeping in the same bed as us.
Well, and isn't but you're it, in it now,
yeah,
right?
And isn't it key to be as detailed as possible, mm-hmm. really, right?
Yeah.
So what would you say to a lot of people out there who think manifesting is kind of this woo-woo bogus term that has no scientific backing?
I mean...
What are your stats? Have you found this to be successful?
100%. I teach it. It changed my life. Like, I grew up with zero faith. My family didn't have, like, you know, I just wasn't raised with anything. I believed I was just me against the world, and I was... you know, and no, I didn't have anyone to turn to, and things happened in my life that brought me down a path of spirituality. And it is, I had, you know, again, I could go on for hours on this story.
Yeah.
How I got to where I am right now.
You guys think my stories are bad. She's got some too. Yeah.
I do what I do for a reason. But long story short, I was brought into the Agape Church. And
what's that?
It's a non-denominational church here
Agape
in Beverly Hills.
Is that where you go?
That's where I started.
Oh.
And again, having zero guidance in my life, I ended up doing a prosperity program with Dr. Bernard Beckwith, who leads it. And it was a game changer. And
what is that program? I want to do it.
It was to manifest what you want in 30 days. And so I had
part of the church.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So it's again, there's a lot. That was a while ago. That was like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But it changed my life in the sense of giving me to believe in. Suddenly the universe opened up. I was like, oh, wait, the universe has my back. Huh? Like, I'm protected. I'm not here alone. Oh, that's an interesting. Like, it made me cry in the first day. And I just bawled. And I was like, and my girlfriend was beside me. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, the war is over. I'm not alone anymore.
That gave me chills,
Yeah. And I'm here in my safe space.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you feel like you unlocked a superpower? That's how my whole life changed when I realized what manifesting was. Mm-hmm. It was probably 15 years ago, 10 years ago. And I felt like I unlocked a superpower I didn't know existed. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have control. Yes. I'm not a victim. Mm-hmm. It's a superpower.
100%. And then it comes down to, exactly. I have the power to create anything I desire, mm-hmm. right?
It reminds me of, you know, The Secret, which I kind of feel like there's this book and it was a movie too.
Rhonda Byrne, something like that. That's the book I was just referring to.
Secret.
Yeah, The Secret.
I just
changed
feel
my
like,
life.
Really? I feel like so many people say that. And I don't know. For me, I kind of have a little eye roll because, okay, you can create your own reality because thoughts become things. And I'm totally on board with the whole quantum physics of that. I do believe you can create your own reality with your thoughts. But how do you change your thinking? Because a lot of our thinking is so compulsive. And a lot of like our desires and what we're attracted to are so deeply ingrained in us from a time in our life when we didn't have the discernment for what was being subconsciously programmed. Mm-hmm. You know, like I like a man who is so masculine, and that is a problem because a lot of times they end up being super toxic. You know,
not all of them.
Not all of them. Mm-hmm.
So now we have beliefs coming up, that are going to hurt you moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So how do you, on that note, because for exactly what Aurora just described, and you know, based on your past trauma or things that you have been ingrained to believe, like you know, maybe alpha men are toxic. Like you said, not all of them are. I have a very alpha husband who I manifested 3 months after I read The Secret. It's like now we've been together 11 years. So how talking to someone like Aurora, many women who believe like, you know, all men are toxic or have these ingrained beliefs, how do you like get rid of those beliefs that you've believed for so long?
So it's reprogramming.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, if you are on autopilot and your subconscious is just running the show, which it does anyways, then if it's old beliefs, then you're going to start repeating the exact same patterns because you're not taking any form of responsibility or control over it. Mm. But the second you decide, you know what? No, I'm going to start to change the game for myself. You know, as cliche as it is, you do start with affirmations. You do start with the I ams. You do start with the changing the things. You know, it's again, getting into your vision and belief and getting into wanting to create exactly what you want to create. And then starting to realize when the thing that you're saying, because your beliefs become reality. Change the words so that it no longer is true. Like when I was 40 when I was single, 42 when I had my child.
Wow.
48 tomorrow.
And look, oh my gosh.
I know.
Holy crap.
You're half Chinese, right? I
yeah.
feel like that.
Oh, yeah. No, it
Thank
doesn't.
You, Mom.
They look 12 their whole
She's
life.
She's going to look 112.
Yeah. But so here I'm in LA dating, and I had my time at the clubs and doing all the things in West Hollywood and running around. And I remember being like very intentional when I was 40. And I was like, I turned 40 and I was like, okay. And I had just passed what I called the test. I say, when you're dating, you're going to have tests. And they're tests to see, have you learned anything or have you not learned anything? And if you fail the test, well, then you're back in that toxic relationship with the narcissist, mm-hmm. asking yourself, how did I get here? But still tolerating it, mm-hmm. right? But if you pass the test, well, then you're the one who says, you know what? I didn't stay with the narcissist this time. I recognized it and I broke up with him and I walked away. And that's the personal power. You can't trust yourself until you learn to walk away from the men of your past that weren't good for you, because they will keep coming back and you will keep choosing them until you stop choosing them.
Totally.
Wow, this is perfect timing.
I was just saying this to Christian, my sister's fiance, last night about how when this last guy came into my life, I was doing so well in my self-care and in my spiritual practice. And I thought for sure this was my reward. Like this mm-hmm. is like there's no way the universe would throw me another freaking, like, you know, just disappointment.
Horrible human.
which makes me also feel a little guilty, because obviously there's, you know, a genocide going on in the world and people have it so much more horribly, one horrible thing going on after the next in people's lives all the time. But for some reason, my selfish brain, I was like, there's no way that this can't be a reward because I've been so good. But I think sometimes when we think that we're getting a blessing, it's just another test. And I failed.
But I don't think so, because to like what she just said, you looked at it square in the eye, mm-hmm. and you acknowledged his baby mama, and you had integrity and you ended it. Like, yeah. So you did. That was a test.
You would have failed the test
if
you were still chasing after him today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If you were still letting him call you and still, mm-hmm. you know, oh, but he was just so, and I, you know, it's okay. Like starting to actually like move away from your personal values, mm-hmm. and still do, even though everything's saying, don't do it. You're like, but you know, again, I want what I want.
Yeah.
And letting fear or whatever it is keep you there, or, you know,
yeah.
that would be failing.
Yeah. You ended it. You blocked him.
Yeah.
You on social, on the phone. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a test, yeah. and you did the right thing.
And it was short lived. It was just yeah. a few weeks.
Yeah. A month. 3 months.
Oh, 3 months.
Yeah.
It's still super short.
That is short. Yeah.
You know, yeah. 3 months is nothing.
Totally.
That's when the mask cracks.
This episode of Barely Filtered is brought to you by BetterHelp. I don't know about you guys, but therapy has been an invaluable asset in my life. I've been going to therapy once a week for a few years now, and I think it's just really important to kind of set that time aside just for you to talk to a licensed therapist about what's working in your life, what isn't working, and how we can be more intentional about our precious time. I personally have 50% custody of my kids, so I feel like my life is divided in half, where it's like, okay, this 50%, I need to make sure I'm working on my business, I'm working on my mental health, and then this 50%, I need to make sure I'm being totally present for my kids, because as we all know, time just flies by. I'm going to be 35 in a few weeks, and I'm already just feeling super old about that. But I know that's not old, but it's just, it makes you realize as you get older how fast time goes and how important it is to be intentional about our time. So if you have time once a week, I would get on betterhelp.com. BetterHelp is entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch your therapist at any time for no additional charge. So if you want to learn to make time for what makes you happy, visit BetterHelp. It's betterhelp.com/barelyfiltered, and you can get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/barelyfiltered to get 10% off your first month.
What's up, everyone? I'm Sheena Shea. You may know me from 9 seasons of Bravo's Vanderpump Rules, but I'm here to tell you about my podcast called Shenanigans. We talk about everything from reality TV, pop culture, relationships, parenting, and invite you to join the conversations with Q&A sessions where nothing is off the table. There's so much more I want to share with you. Thanks for listening, and make sure to subscribe to Shenanigans to stay up to date with new episodes every Friday.
But I think it sounds like with you, at least, and so many women, is the reprogramming. Instead of like, oh, well, all alpha males, most of them are toxic. Instead, she should say something like what?
Well, up until now, I dated toxic men, but not anymore.
Yeah.
That's a great one to start to undo.
Yeah.
The programming. Shift the belief. Like, what is it you want to believe?
I would love to believe, and I'm at this moment faking this belief because I'm so cynical, but I'd like to
for interview purposes.
I'd like to believe that there's still men out there, because I think the belief I have is that the dating pool that I'm in now, which is like late 30s to through like 50 probably max, it's like people who either are divorced or haven't been in a relationship ever that worked, and that there's something wrong with them. And that's why, but which, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with me and I'm in this pool, but I guess I want to believe that there's available men who are masculine, but like, I guess integrous is one of the like big things for me. Mm-hmm. Just like somebody who doesn't lie, somebody who wants to be monogamous and is like excited to be and doesn't think it's a compromise.
Yeah. Well, 100% there's men like that out there.
Mm-hmm.
There are amazing men. Maybe they're divorced, have some children. Married the wrong person, right? Are out now in the same place you are. Why are all the women crazy? Why are all these women after, you know, and they're just complaining about the women? Why do all these women flake?
Yeah.
Why did all these women want to change me? Right? Men complain about all this stuff. So it's just about, again, believing that they're there and starting to say, and this is the same thing I had to say to myself when I was 40 and dating. Everyone was saying, no man who's 40 is going to want a woman who's 40. They want the 20-year-olds. Mm. And I was like, well, any man who wants a 20-year-old who's my age is not my match.
Yeah.
I'm not 20, right? And so it's the same. Like any man, like you start to say, speak into, there's a lot of crazy men out there. There is. There's a lot of amazing men out there. And if he's crazy, it's just not a match for me. Like I'm going to do my best to recognize that as quickly as possible. If that comes up, that's my cue to exit and just not tolerate, right? Now, can you read it sooner? Like start to be able to become a better read of crazy. You can. That takes practice.
Right.
You're getting a lot of it lately. So hopefully you're learning from that and you're just becoming a wiser dater. And every single thing is coming into your life to teach you what you need to know to ultimately match with your vision man. Mm. But you have to learn these things to become a match for him.
Yeah.
I always tell my women, you'll meet him when you become the match. Like I just said, when you match your vision from the feminine, from the woman's side, you will then meet. But if you aren't ready for the thing you say you want, then you come in emotionally unintelligent, still angry at your ex, still insecure, all these things, and showing up. Well, he's not going to tolerate that as a high quality man.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the work comes in.
Right.
That commitment to being your best self. And you don't have to be perfect to meet him. I think like those who do the work together, stay together.
Right.
And to not expect perfection in your partner is better, because looking for perfection will keep you single for a very long time and you'll always be disappointed and you'll never find him.
Mm-hmm.
Your man's not going to be perfect, but you can embrace the imperfections because again, you're not going to be perfect either.
Right.
And it's about two imperfect people coming together and doing the work together to create the best life together.
Right.
It sounds like a lot of this is when you think about doing the work, people are like, well, I'm going to the gym, I'm doing my yoga, I'm having my green juice. It's like, yes, those are so great for you physically. But it sounds like from hearing what you're saying, a lot of it comes down to self-awareness of who you are. And also it comes back to those affirmations and saying like what you want versus what you don't want.
Because
like when you had asked that, I noticed, or the first she said, what do you want? And the first thing you said, well, you know, with the crazy guys, and you went right into the things.
What I don't want.
Yeah. What you don't want.
I don't want
I don't want a guy that lies, but instead it should be, I want a man who has integrity and tells the truth. So shaping it and just having that self-awareness sounds like that's like the big part of the work.
It's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So when you coach these women, it's just women, right? No men. Okay. So they do the vision, and then what other steps do you have them take? And is there a certain point in this process where you see the most breakthroughs?
Good question.
Everyone's different. It really depends on what you come to the table with. If you've been coming with a ton of self-development work and you walk in and you've been like, I've been self-development, I've done leadership training courses, I've been in therapy, and I'm kind of like, oh, you're going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And I can hear it when I'm speaking to them pretty quick where they sit.
Their excitement
but
too.
If they've come and they've been abused and they've never been in therapy and they're really in victim and it's everyone else's fault and they have a switch to every solution that goes back into a problem. I'm already like, okay, there's going to be a lot of work here, you know? So the process of success is slower. And then there's the aggressive learners and then there's the slow learners. But so as far as when that breakthrough comes, it's different for everyone. It does come down to their commitment to learning. But, you know, my process is everything. My program is designed based off all the steps I took to go from the girl who attracted narcissists and was in victim and poor me and, you know, not being able to take any personal responsibility and you know, to, and the girl who would go on, like I went on 1,000 dates. That's part of my, over 1,000 dates when I was single, 10 relationships, most of them abusive, right? I had crazy, but I would go through all the nice guys and pick the bad one. Mm-hmm. And I'd go through all the nice guys. Oh, this one's fun.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's so that's what my program was developed off of. Everything I learned along the way, that was that big aha for me. And I was like, oh, that one made a difference. This one made a big difference. And then teaching it as I go in a 36-module-based program.
Oh, 36 modules. Okay, so we don't want to give away the whole program because you can do the program. How do they access the program if they want to?
Easiest way goes to my Instagram at Christine Campbell Pate.
Okay.
And then go into my link tree, and it's the very first. It's the AEL, the Attract Extraordinary Love program.
Okay. So are you willing to give us any of the steps here, or do you want to keep that a secret?
No, I mean, it's no secret because...
Like, what's the seven...
Yeah, so there we go.
Yeah, what's that?
So in this, first phase, again, depends on, you can go through it faster, but is really, I say, building you up into your queen. So this is, again, teaching you, again, about your beliefs, getting you into vision, starting to build up your worth, starting to build up your self-respect, starting to be able to have you look in the mirror and say, oh my gosh, I'm a catch. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why people would date me. This is what I bring to the table. This is why I am valuable. And to really start to own that growth and self-confidence, self-esteem, all of those. And there's a lot of exercises that grow those selves, right? Grow you into your best self. Then in the next phase, you start dating, following my strict 7 dating strategy. And it's what I did to find my husband. And it breaks your patterns. And in my program, in my community, you're only allowed to date a strict 7 man. He's not a strict 7 man. You are not allowed to date him.
What's a strict 7 man?
So it is, okay, I give the top 3 and then my client gets to create the next 4. That. So they're individual. Really quick. Let me give you the top 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really quick. Rule number 1, he must make you feel safe emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, and sexually. If he does not, he is a no. And I do tend to coach women who are ready for love now. So I'm like, we're not wasting time anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not sitting here trying to fix someone, waiting for the divorce. You know, we're just like, this, you want it? This
he
is
told
what,
me he's going to leave
yeah.
her,
right? Yeah. Yeah, well, he's not a strict 7. Yeah. When he's single and he's been single for a minute, now he might make the strict 7 list.
Yeah.
But until
that's
then,
a non-negotiable, what you just said too. That's a non-negotiable
it's
for me.
It's a non-negotiable
list.
Yeah.
And if you're a queen, you need to attract a king, and a king has those qualities. And if he doesn't, it's a no.
A king's ready for you.
Yes.
Yeah. And so number 2, he must be pursuing you. I teach femininity in love, not, you know, I have a lot of masculine women that walk in and they're like, I just want my man. I'm like, yeah I know. I know you do.
She's like, how's that going?
A lot of betas.
Yeah.
So you get to be courted. You get to be pursued. You get to have someone consistent show up for you. You get to be treated like a queen. And if he doesn't, well, he's a no.
It's a no.
There's no chasing. There's no hunting.
Yeah. See, that part I think I get a little in my head about because does it mean that he always has to suggest a date? Or does it mean that he has to be the one to text first? What does it mean to pursue? Because I think I am a little bit of a, I don't know, I'm a fiery Aries bossy kind of person. So, but I'm feminine, but I feel like I do kind of step into that masculine role and it can be scary.
I mean, it depends on the type of man you want.
I don't want a feminine man.
Right. So then you let them take a lot of leadership.
Okay.
And that also embraces a man to be masculine, to be that masculine energy you want. When you allow him, for lack of a better term, to be in his masculine state.
I think I worry about coming across as lazy or like I'm not pulling my weight or like, you know.
Yeah, well, it's probably things that you've been hearing about yourself in your past.
Yeah.
Because a man's job is to protect and provide. Yeah. That's his job. And every man knows that that's his job and his role.
Yeah.
And as a woman and embrace our feminine energy, sorry to steal
thunder,
but I believe in all everything you're saying. To embrace our feminine energy, we have to allow them to embrace their masculinity as well.
And here's the thing, though. Most masculine men will come in and take the lead. Mm-hmm. And it's the masculine woman that starts to actually compete a little. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to take you here and do this. Oh, well, I was thinking we could do this. Right? The controller kicks in.
Oh,
and then he's
like,
okay. Either he's going to, like, again, competition kicks in. And no real masculine man wants to compete to lead with their partner. They want a strong feminine woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody really wants a weak feminine woman.
Totally.
Those are certain types of men who want to usually prey on someone.
Right. Yes.
So they want a strong woman, but not someone who's going to like push away their ideas and have them feel dismissed, rejected, right? Because now they start to feel like, well, I can't make her happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so it's good just to, like when I used to date, I kind of have a bit of a, you know, controller personality. I've learned it.
Yeah.
I used to be very supportive. Hence, I was a doormat. And then through all my self-development and leadership programs, I learned how to become strong, to be an entrepreneur and to like be stronger with my voice and to be able to set boundaries. And in that, it's again, a long, long story. But so I do like what I like.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a trust thing attached to that. Like, do I trust you to bring me to the place that I like?
Are you capable? Yeah. It's like, let you pretend you're capable, but I'm actually going to just like guide
you. Let me just guide you a little over here. But I would just, if they said, if first dates, I was always like, just surprise me. Mm-hmm. I want to see who you are and what you're going to do.
That's a good idea.
And it was like, surprise me. So, but if they were like, well, what do you want to do? I'd be like, oh, do you want me to give you some things I like?
Yeah.
Right? Because it's different. It's different like when if it's an invitation, like back in the day, you would drop the handkerchief. It wasn't like walking over to the guy and saying, take me out. It was like, oh, here's a little sign that you can take me out.
Really? That's what people used to do?
Yeah. Or like giving you their pin.
It was a sign. Yeah.
Like drop the handkerchief?
Drop the handkerchief was like, okay, like it's kind of like you can approach me. I won't reject you.
Yeah.
Versus stomp on over.
Yeah.
And so it's just, again, leaning back, trusting, and letting them create experiences for you. And then again, in your feminine, being very, very appreciative. I used to never like read all those rules books and I was following all these things that just made me like unappreciative. Like I was like, I'm not going to give anything. And I'd have guys years later be like, I didn't even know you're having a good time. Did you like me? I couldn't read you. And I was like, well, I wasn't. The book said I wasn't supposed to let you know that I liked you, but I did. And I was not communicating. So I think learning to lean back is a really powerful feminine way of dating. And it does attract in a more masculine man.
Mm.
I think when it comes to texting, I think once you meet the right guy, it just becomes an even, like you shouldn't be waiting. Mm-hmm. Again, that's that consistency. In rule number 2 of the strict 7.
Like, well, that's what I liked about my last psychopath that I dated. He was like, he had red receipts on so that I would know that he got it. And then he'd always write me back like right away. Yeah. So I liked that, I guess.
And you get to have that by someone who's not a psychopath.
Oh, okay. That would be nice.
Because a healthy minded man who really wants you, who is a strict 7, you know, he's coming to get you. He wants you. He sees you. He's like, that's mine.
Right.
And he's going to lock you down and he's not going to allow someone else to come in and swoop you away because he got busy over here. He's going to stay connected to you.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And it's not the, why should I text? Should I not? Like, I don't think you need to overthink that when you meet the right person. Now, if you're texting way more than them now, and then there's these long waits, then okay, you need to slow down a little and give him space.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
But...
okay, so that's number 2. Number 2 is to remind me.
Number 2, he must be consistent. He must be pursuing you. Be feeling pretty darn, like if I said, do you think he wants you? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I do know
no
he
question
wants
no question about that. Okay.
And just to be clear too, because I think it's so important, is being in your feminine state does not make you weak. It actually makes you so strong.
Femininity is a superpower.
It is.
If you know how to use it.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, guys, you have all heard the saying, trust your gut feeling. Well, let's talk about a time you shouldn't have trusted your gut. Like the time you thought it might be a good idea to call your ex-boyfriend or eat the entire pizza in one sitting or skip the gas station even though your tank was on E. You might have been guilty of one of those, if not all three. Me. So probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. They have made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. You might have heard me talk about Ritual before. I started taking Ritual when I was pregnant with Nala. So I started taking their pre-needles. And what I loved most was their slow release and the citrusy taste that it had. Now with this prebiotic Synbiotic Plus, they have a slow release as well. And it has a minty fresh flavor. It's going to be really gentle on your GI tract for delivery to the colon, an ideal place for probiotics to grow and thrive. And like I said, it's a one single nested minty capsule, so there's no refrigeration needed. And if you travel a lot like me, this is actually huge because you can take it anywhere you must when you travel. Daily 3-in-1 prebiotic, probiotic, and postbiotic with two of the world's most clinically studied probiotic strains to support the relief of mild and occasional bloating, gas, and diarrhea. I know we're not supposed to talk about these things, girls, but pretty girl got stuff problems. So there is no more shaming your gut game. Synbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/barelyfiltered. Start Ritual or add Synbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/barelyfiltered for 25% off. Enjoy.
Okay, what's number three?
And number three is he must want what she wants. He must be wanting the same thing. So again, when I was 40, I wanted to get married and have kids in 2 years. I was 40. So any guy that came along who couldn't give me that, meaning married to somebody else, didn't want children, just wasn't on my same page, didn't want to get married, they were a no. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I find out pretty quick, what are they looking for? Do they want to have children one day? Do they want to get married? And if they were like, yeah, I'm open to that, then I would continue.
Okay. I think that's the problem I made with my first, with my first marriage.
Oh.
No, my marriage was not with a psychopath, but he didn't really want to be totally monogamous. Mm-hmm. And I kind of made like I compromised. What do you think about like finding somebody who doesn't really want to have kids? Like I want to have more kids. What if I find somebody who's like, I don't really want to, but like I will for you. How do you feel about that answer?
Well, I mean, I would be thinking about my future children and the father and how
like, I really want you.
You know, she talked me into you guys.
Yeah.
But so, in my head, I would be like, once the baby's born, he's going to
love. Yeah, but you're hoping.
Fall in love.
That's just hope.
That's just hope.
Right? And it happens more often than not that the man falls in love with those children. It is true. But then some that just don't take to them. Mm-hmm. They're like, I never really wanted this. I wanted to be off like doing my thing mm-hmm. now. I already did this. Or I never really wanted this in the first place. Mm-hmm. And now it's your fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like a means to an end at mm-hmm. some level.
Yeah. And there's enough men in this world, like abundant thinking. There's enough men that you can get the guy who also wants to have children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who really wants it.
Yeah.
It's not they're doing it because you're giving them, because they really want to be with you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I guess. And it's what you want.
And what you're dealing with now is family values and future vision. And you sharing that same vision versus if you try to talk a guy into it, really your vision's different.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last four, I get to come up with myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what are these four? These are principles that are non-negotiable.
Non-negotiables. Usually you can look back at your exes to mm-hmm. find out what you want now.
It's like, I want 3 extra inches. No, I'm just kidding.
She's like, but maybe not.
Okay, so like, yeah, maybe not. That sounds
pretty good. Hurts.
But can it be like physical or?
I mean, physical fitness. Like you could say, I want a guy who values fitness, who takes good care of his body, that, you know.
What about like,
values
has
self-care.
To be over 6 feet? Do you think that's limiting your pool?
You can if it is 100% a non-negotiable, but you only have four.
Yeah.
So I always take, like, when I did mine, it was number one, I doubled down because I dated so many emotionally, mentally unstable men that I had, he must be emotionally and mentally stable. Yeah. Double down.
Yeah.
And number two, he must be financially successful, stable, and generous. Because I dated guys who were that and they were not generous.
They were stingy.
Like when we're living together, you'd be paying half the mortgage.
Oh, hell
like,
no.
Feminine girl.
Also, not as masculine energy.
No, it's not making me feel very safe.
Yeah.
No. And I see you in your house and you take on, like, she's so patient. I feel like that's your half of the mortgage.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. You're so patient with your son. And it's like this woman is in her feminine. I feel like that is a contribution.
It is.
A different type of a contribution.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm a gentle parent.
She's a gentle parent.
Totally. Yeah. And then I also had must be healthy and fit.
Mm-hmm.
And last one was must be open to self-development work.
Mm-hmm.
And that covered a lot.
Yeah.
And I must be attracted to him. We must have chemistry. I say it's kind of like the asterisk bonus. Like, yeah, of course you do.
Yes.
But I would never say date a guy who you're not attracted to or don't have chemistry
with. I've tried to do that before because they fit everything else. And I'm like, I almost feel shallow that I'm not attracted to them because everything else adds up. But then it's just, there's nothing worse than like having
a friend.
Like,
that's a friend.
Here, we can kiss.
Yeah.
Not with tongue, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, I think you can give those men a shot.
Yeah.
But, you know, after 5-6 dates, you're going to know for sure if this is growing or if you're just like, I can't do it.
Yeah. Like he has like something that he does that really is annoying. Yeah. What, like the last guy I dated, he said especially and I couldn't let it go. Like,
did he say important too with a D?
Important.
Important.
Like that's more of an accent. Especially is just like.
Or espresso.
Espresso.
Get the fuck out of here. No, you say espresso.
I know, especially. I couldn't do that. And like they have like certain tics or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But I think you get to wait for the guy who you have ridiculous like clothes fall off chemistry with.
Yeah.
Who is a strict seven.
Mm-hmm.
You get to have it all.
I do.
Because once you have that, that's marriage.
Yes. Thank you. Though, and that's what I try to tell her and any friends. It's like, those exist.
Mm-hmm.
They 100% exist. As long as it goes back to the self-awareness and reprogramming your brain to think, wow, there are these men out there. All of a sudden, you're like, whoa, I found him. And then you get married and have kids.
Do you suggest going on a dating site or do you think it should happen organically?
I met my husband on Match.
Okay.
So 90% of my clients meet their husbands on sites, on apps. So many of my friends met their husbands on apps. So it's today. It's the number one way of meeting guys today is on apps. So why not like go on Raya? I don't know.
I'm
go
on Raya Hinge. And I feel like Raya's kind of douchey. Yeah, and I kind of feel douchey being on it.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't around when I was single.
Oh, you weren't?
But it just opened up. I mean, they're all just different pools.
Yeah.
And you don't know when or where, but
I never did Match. I did Hinge. I did Bumble. Bumble was like, oh my God, there's just so many people.
I feel like Match gives off like, I want to get married vibes.
Yeah. Match is for the
much
commitment
more serious.
Mind. It's like the dinosaur, right? It's been out forever. I went on it right away just because I trusted it. I was like, the guys going on here are committed.
Yeah.
Hinge is like the popular one.
Yeah.
That seems where a lot of my clients are meeting guys. Bumble always. I didn't like it back in the day. I thought the best looking guys were on. I remember seeing all these guys on it that I knew that were so good looking. But then, I don't know, just again, my feminine, even just making that first move, I didn't like it.
Oh, because the girl has to approach the guy.
Yeah, you have to make the first.
And it kind of felt like Costco. Like it just felt like there was just so much inventory and it was too much. I don't know.
There is. It's just like shopping.
It was shopping,
To the point where people don't even humanize people anymore on apps.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, yeah, gross. Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's just like, you get to be more gentle.
Yes.
When you're dating.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the bigger, better deal, you know, it's just a problem today. But
I love the strict seven. I think that is something you write down and you just remind yourself. And it's like a checklist. I hate to say a checklist, but like it is non-negotiable.
Well, it's attached to your values.
Yes.
I mean, you'd have on there must be, if you was a religion, must be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Must, if you're vegan, you really want to match in that lifestyle, must be vegan. Yeah. You know, those are some good ones that just start to, like if they are must have non-negotiables. If I said, okay, you have Mr. Perfect, but he's Jewish.
Yeah.
And you're like, nope. Okay, well, that's non-negotiable for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? This is important to you.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, and how many women have you coached that have gotten married or that are engaged now?
Well, I had 4 engagements last month.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So it was a big month. That's so cool.
And some took, you know, I have some younger clients that took, they've been with their guy for a couple of years, but last month was a big.
How long did it take for those people?
Let's see. One's been with me for 8 months.
Okay. Did she have a man when she met you? Oh, so she found one and they got engaged within 8 months.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, that's common. Because I always, you know, again, these women are in a rush and we're dating guys who are ready.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say rush. The women are ready. The guys are ready.
They know what they want.
And so when you're in that mindset, it should happen quicker when you are learning a lot, when you've dove in deep with love and yourself and dating tips and understanding men and, you know, all the things, then... If you're paying attention and you're actually applying the work, it should happen much faster than if you did not do that. Right?
Now, how do you know if you're not ready and you just want it, but you're not ready?
Well, you won't want to commit. You will sabotage.
Yeah.
You'll have the most perfect guy in front of you. And, you know, so one of the things we talk about is the fears of commitment. And there's two that plague most women. Number one is the fear of getting hurt. And the second one, which I had, was the fear of entrapment. Because I'm a freedom girl. Mm. So, and I had a lot of abusive, controlling men who tried to remember I said I had 11 o'clock curfews at 23.
Wow.
So it's one or the other. So a lot of times when you're not ready, it could be I'm just not ready. I want to date more. I want to live more. I want to be me for a while. And I think every woman should be just them for a while. It's very empowering. But if you really do, say you do, but every time a great guy comes in, I would panic. I'd have anxiety when they would ask me to be their girlfriend. I was like, claustrophobia.
Yeah.
All of a sudden my career is so important.
Yeah,
I got to work today. Tonight, oh no, I can't. Got another date.
Yeah.
Right? Just fighting for that freedom. That's fear of entrapment.
Yeah.
And you get to realize that you can get into a relationship and you can have freedom as well. As long as you choose a confident man who's willing to give you freedom and you guys share in that value. So I did. I found that man. Great. I have lots of freedom. So does he. The fear of getting hurt is a big one because it comes from your past and there's trust issues there. And it's I want to go in, but I'm just paralyzed with fear. What if he hurts me again? What if I get hurt? What if he does what my ex did? What if? And what if he didn't?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have to go into love taking that risk of getting hurt. You can't go in all protected, I'll never get hurt again. Well, then you're never going to love fully again.
Mm-hmm.
So it hurts. It sucks to get hurt, but you will survive it.
Yeah.
And you will learn from it. And it's worth the risk when you find it.
Amen. So I encourage Aurora and all the girls to one, go look at your Instagram so we can learn these tools. But the 7 non-negotiables for me is what I'm taking away the most. And I want to see what yours are.
My strict 7.
Yeah.
I'll have to do some work and get to the bottom of it. And
next play date, honey.
Yeah. Yes. Next play date.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for talking with us
today.
This is
great. I feel
so many people will get so much out of this. And also, I know that you're doing something different now. You still have your dating coaching, but you're kind of shifting into another space. Do you want to talk about that a little so people know?
I did IVF in November and it had me create calm in my life. And running a company is not calm.
Yeah.
So and it gave me a moment to actually just think. And in that, I used to want to coach money, love and money back in the day. And I created money programs and just my business coach back then said, focus on one thing only. So I did love. But money in women is a thing. And affiliate marketing has come into my world recently.
Mm.
And so I'm now exploring it deeply. And I'm right in there in it, learning to be one. And whether I apply that to my business one day and have an army of affiliate marketers helping me promote it, which actually is I wish I'd done that 10 years ago versus all the things I've done. I'm having a blast just learning how to market this way. And, you know, so I've just launched a new Instagram page. I'm the guinea pig right now. I'm new in it. I'm 2.5 weeks in.
Well, maybe people can learn alongside you how to use affiliate marketing for their businesses.
Yeah.
So where can they find that?
At Affiliate Freedom with Christine.
Okay.
I love that.
Is my new little playground.
Yeah. So you can find all the ways to get empowered in love and business and start this journey with you with affiliate marketing. I know that I'm following you and trying, because for me, it's like, I don't even know what that means. And so but I need to start taking a little more control of my business life. And that doesn't make us less feminine.
No,
to have full control.
You have that freedom. Business.
Yeah. I mean, that's a switch.
Yeah.
Right. The feminine masculine switch, like to go and be like, it's like a cloak we wear at work. Like we're here making money and we're doers and we're producers and we're, you know, and you're in charge and you're leading, and then you get to go home and drop the cloak and be like,
now I'm tired.
I just get to let you do it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Until your child walks in and you're back in it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's just the switch back and forth. It's an art.
Yeah.
It is. Thank you guys so much
for
having me.
Thank you.
So much.
Best time. Thank you.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.